We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up and welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. Your host, Jake Burns, Andrew Spade with me here. We have, once again, quiet day around the NFL world. We are spending more time. This is the time of year, Andrew, where we are spending more time prepping than actually talking because we're trying to find the right angle to cover as most podcasts go sort of zero dark 30 on us right now because there's just not a great deal of amount to talk about. We are in the midst of some stuff coming this week. We're going to talk about UDFAs a little later in the week as we get closer to the May 10th arrival and the rookie camp and all of that. And then obviously we have the schedule looming as well. But we want to hit on what I think is an interesting topic around rookies around the league and something that I think everybody gets. It's a trend. If I go back and listen to, because you kind of were starting to join me a little bit more around this time last year after the draft, where we're looking around. Every year there is like this community of people, no offense to the fantasy people, probably driven by them a little bit, but there's this clip that of a rookie and it could be a defensive back slipping. It could be like a one-on-one in that scenario or a running back who just drops a ball or, you know, mishandles a handoff or something. The one that happened, it wasn't today. It was a couple days ago, I think, but it got everybody riled up online. And that is an old bit that we were doing here for a little bit, which was the bit about what's everybody mad about online today. It's a little less prevalent when most things people are mad about online are not the NFL right now. So we're not always kind of having a path here. But this one is easy to me, Andrew. It happens every year. Later on down the line, you and I will kind of do maybe our Browns camp darling that is going to be this hyped up video clip player. But Xavier Worthy, who's the first round pick that the Chiefs moved up for, is just basically doing a wide receiver drill around cones coming out of your cuts and just drops a throw from the coach, kind of hits his hands. It's above his head, hits his hands. And you get this big reaction from people that are like, well, there goes Xavier Worthy. You know, this kind of validation of I had concerns about him in the pre-draft. He can't catch the football. And I think it is something that is the content creation driving the fiscal situation for people, Andrew. It is like this desire to put out a take on this. When it is so much not even remotely a big deal, but it is something that happens every year. And I will say that it goes into preseason. Like, remember the Jamar Chase catching issues in the preseason? It's every year that we get sucked into this whole thing. And Xavier Worthy hits leadoff in what will be a long summer of, listen, I'm sure Keon Coleman will get a ball knocked away from him at some point, and people will be like, look, can't separate. See, told you, right? It's going to happen. It's a vicious cycle, and I don't think it's trending to be any better anytime soon. I think this is something that's just going to get worse.
Without a doubt. Yeah, I think, and it's funny that like the two parts of your open there really kind of complement each other really nicely, right? Because the first part is about how we're having to talk a lot more pre-show about what to talk about. And then the second part is about how people are kind of making something up or getting mad online about something that's barely worth talking about. And so it's like asked and answered to a certain extent, right? Like, I think there's a real sense of everybody's really having to grind and reach for something. And I mean, I think we have a pretty good sense at this point that, like, I don't know precisely the reason, but just general engagement with football this offseason has been lower, certainly for the Browns, I think to a certain extent around the league. And so I think that makes people want to reach a little bit more. And the easiest way to do that is to use anything that happens to reinforce your priors. And then to a certain extent, there's also like the industry of people who are kind of coming down hard on the people that are doing that, right? And so it becomes, there's kind of two sides, right? There's the people that say, you know, oh, look, something happened in minicamp and that proves what I said before. And then there's other people that say, you can't tell anything from a clip from minicamp. And I see the validity of both points. I think that ultimately it's because you're trying to cover a sport that is very much in the off season for the next 3 months. And the minicamp stuff, even though there is content, the team is releasing videos, you can't tell a thing from them. They, you know, they might as well be releasing novels that we read to each other. Like it in terms of how much it tells us about what the Browns are going to look like on the field, what happens at rookie minicamp. I can't think of a thing that could happen this weekend at rookie minicamp other than an injury that would be in any way informational about what is going to happen in 2024. So as people trying to understand the NFL and break it down, you're put in a really tough spot because it is happening. You have to talk about it, but there's nothing really to say other than that it took place.
Right. You have to cover it some way, shape, or form. You can't just let it float out there, but you have people on the far side of this taking it extremely far, which is kind of like, again, look at how the Bills fleeced the Chiefs and, you know, moved back and didn't take Worthy. And that is, again, driving engagement. I understand why people are doing that. It's a bit of the product of our time, but that is the case. But this is just a large reminder that this stuff is going to happen. These guys are getting used to wearing, being in new places, wearing new gear, wearing like different colors maybe than they've associated. There's a lot of factors that go into adjusting to the NFL, and it's why you see so few rookies do what CJ Stroud did last year, or these guys who have these and again, a Jamar Chase like rookie season. There is a lot to adapt, adjust, and get ready to do at the NFL level that you just didn't have to do at college. And it's like the idea that we take something concrete away from that is such a tricky thing to do, because on the side of like the Browns, Andrew, there have been, you know, there's always like preseason game darlings, but then there's like a couple clips at camp darlings, right? Like in the past, we have seen Cedric Tillman. We've seen like Mac Wilson, probably David Bell from a few years ago. I remember conversations like leading up and in training camp around like David Bell, man, over under 500 yards his rookie year. Like that stuff was extremely popular. It will remain that way, but we're making these sort of guesses and confirmation biases off of a couple clips where a guy might be put up against, you know, DB number 47, who you've never heard of. Or he might be going against Denzel Ward, and that changes the scope of the rep and everything. So it happens every year. We're, like I said, down the road, we'll predict who we think this is going to happen to. But in the past, it keeps coming up in Brown circles because, again, your sideline beat reporters are throwing up a couple clips and you're making a bunch of judgments off of a couple clips, and that doesn't tell the whole story. Every year we get to the season and there is a couple either acquisitions or draft picks that you presume are going to have these immediate roles. And sometimes they do, to their credit. Martin Emerson, DeJuan Jones, they figure it out. But like those people that make those sort of judgments in those clip-based moments, I'm not a fan of it. It's going to happen every year, no matter what, not a fan of it. But it's really worse around like competing skill position things, or like guys who were close in the draft, Worthy, Coleman, Ladd McConkey, those guys are all going to be judged closely. And it's going to be a thing you see a ton of in the community of like, it's not just a fantasy community thing. It's the draft community. It's all of these places that think they have to have the right take, right? So that's, I don't know, it's maybe a warning, Andrew, but it is going to, it's going to keep happening. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, for sure. I think if we talk about the teams making decisions based on process rather than results, then to me, there should be some understanding that also on the analysis side, it's about the process of your analysis more than it is the results. And so that's why to me, it feels unnecessary And, you know, I mean, I think there are less flattering words I could use beyond that, but we'll stick with unnecessary. To take victory laps when any shred of evidence seems to prove you right in a certain direction, right? Like, it just, I don't think that that means that you know what you're talking about. If you were out on Xavier Worthy and he drops a pass in minicamp, that doesn't make me think you're smarter, right? Like, I mean, that's the math on that. If you over time show that you understand some of the ways in which, for example, players are misused in college and that makes them potentially better pro prospects than they players that they showed themselves to be in college, that to me is process, right? That's understanding, like, this team did not have a very sound offensive system in college. Maybe there's a little bit of a discount for players that come from that system, and that would then inform the way that teams see those players in the draft. And maybe smart NFL teams understand that and dumb ones don't to a certain extent. That's process analysis that I can get into, right? So it's just that's a little example of, like, I'm sort of at this point instinctively suspicious if when you see a clip like that from minicamp, your first thought is to take a victory lap. That makes me suspicious about what your priorities are as an analyst, right? I mean, speaking generally, I'm not talking to anybody in specific, just speaking generally. I think that as much as it should be about being right, quote unquote, about some very niche thing that happened, it should ultimately be about the process of analysis, how in-depth your analysis is, and the sorts of context that you're able to bring to help people that don't have, you know, have full-time jobs and don't have time to break all these players down themselves, help those people, myself, I'm talking about myself, help me understand the player, give me some context. That's what's most valuable to me.
Yeah, totally agree. You won't find the proper context necessarily from anything that's happening in camp, but it will not stop folks from doing it. And it's just a another reminder of a part of the process that I am not, and I know Andrew's not all too keen to looking at. But, you know, unless we really like a player and we want people to think we're really smart, then we'll take advantage of that.
No, I mean, everything that Keon Coleman has said in his press conferences absolutely means he's going to be an all-pro wide receiver for 20 years.
There is, I mean, you can't even, the Tiger wish he could line. I'm not sure I've heard a better.
Every time I think about it, I laugh.
I know, I'm not sure. I mean, he delivered it so smooth too. Like, you know, when you hear somebody who you're like, that guy's organically funny, he doesn't even try. Like, we're sitting around eating dinner and like playing video games or whatever, he's making you laugh all the time. Like, you can tell he's not even trying. That's the type. Keon Coleman. So yeah, as far as like off the field, is this guy like personality wise, is it going to work? He's a 10, like, well, 12 out of 10, man. That is one of the best pre-draft little interviews I've ever seen from a humor standpoint, but seems to also get it at the same time. So pretty excited to watch him play. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to look around real quick. We promised to do this and we're going to finally get to it. Just kind of pick our favorite AFC North draft. So we'll rattle off who these teams selected, and then we will pick which one we think ultimately will be the best. We'll be right back. The OBR is proudly sponsored by Game Time Ticket App. When you're buying those tickets and it's the last minute, you don't have to be stressed out. You can go to gametime.co or use the Game Time app to make those last minute ticket decisions in the best possible way, with a fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. The app does a fantastic job of finding opportunities near you for events, both, like I said, sports and otherwise. We have a comedy show that we found recently with the best price that we could possibly find using Game Time. Great seats. You can scout out the seats, have a great experience, and get the image of those seats all within the app or online, whatever you would like to do. So Game Time is the fast and easy place for those last minute ticket deals. So take advantage, snag your tickets with Game Time, and avoid the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the promo code OBR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that account, use the promo code OBR, get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day. And that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. All right, first up are the Bengals. And again, this is a reminder, these teams in this division draft pretty well. It's just the historical nature of these teams being so competitive so often, they draft well. So we have Amarius Mims at 18, Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle from Michigan, in round 2, pick 49. Jermaine Burton is the guy that the team that takes the risk on, the young man out of Alabama, pick 80. McKinley Jackson, pick 97, defensive tackle, Texas A&M. Pick 15 in the fourth round, pick 115 overall, Eric All, the tight end out of Iowa, liked him. Round 5, 149, Josh Newton, corner out of TCU. Round 6, 194, Tanner McLaughlin, another guy I liked, the tight end out of Arizona. And then pick round 6, pick 214, Cedric Johnson, edge out of Mississippi. And then round 7, 224, is DeJon Anthony, a safety out of Mississippi. And then lastly, round 7, 237 overall, Matt Lee, the center from Miami. Of those guys, who's your favorite selection that they made? I would say, like, let's not do the first round guys because that's kind of an easy answer. Maybe go kind of backward. I would say, Andrew, for me, it's Jermaine Burton for them because that guy could be really good with their group, and it could be a pretty seamless replacement for Tyler Boyd. But I also really like Tanner McLaughlin. Who's your guy?
Yeah, I mean, those are the two names that I had in my mind. I think the thing with Burton is that you understand the risk for the Bengals because they're facing life without T. Higgins. And so taking a swing on a player that might have the upside of being a true starting NFL wide receiver late in the third round, or I guess middle third round. But you understand the upside there for them because they kind of need to find those cheaper replacements because of we kind of know who the Bengals are economically, financially, right? So that's the situation that they're in, that they have to go to the discount bin to a certain extent to fill their needs. And as you mentioned not talking about the first rounders or you know, picking those, but they had to go offensive tackle, I felt like, in the first round, and they did that. And so then it becomes a question of when do you address that need at wide receiver? And they did that with Burton. So you're hoping to get a discount there. With Tanner McLachlan, I think the whole idea is like the big knock on him was his age. Well, the plus side of that is you would expect at that age, he should be ready to roll, like come in and play.
Yeah.
This year, come in and be a contributor on special teams, come in and be a depth tight end. And their tight end room is, Mike Gesicki notwithstanding, thin enough that there's snaps, right? If one of these guys, All or McLachlan, want to grab this job, they could absolutely be starting for this team by midseason.
Right. Eric All is another name, too. A guy who had a really nice run at Michigan and was off to a nice start for Iowa before the knee injury. So they're taking swings on the cheaper side of those two skill positions with Burton, All, McLachlan. Fingers crossed, no disrespect, Cincinnati, none of those work out. But I do, for their side, like the selections that they made, right? Baltimore next, round one, pick 30. They go Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, the corner. Round two, pick 62, Roger Rosengarten. And I will always say Rosenbagger. I can't help it, man. It's really going to be a problem for me. Washington offensive tackle. Round three, pick 93, Adija Isaac, the edge out of Penn State. Round four, pick 113, Tez Walker, the North Carolina wide receiver. Round four, pick 130, TJ Tampa, corner out of Iowa State. Round five, pick 165, Rasheen Ali, the running back out of Marshall, who will be injured, but will come back maybe late this year. We'll see about that. Round six, pick 218, Devin Leary, quarterback out of Kentucky. Round seven, 228, Nick Samick, the center out of Michigan State. And then round seven, 250, Sanusi Kane, I'm hoping I'm getting that right. Apologies, man, if I screwed that up. I'm sure you'll hear it. Safety out of Purdue. The Eagles are probably the biggest like mock draft consensus board grifters. The Ravens are up there. We've talked about this. They love to do this sort of thing. And hey, maybe it's going to be great in the long haul, but they're like the darlings of this over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. And I think it lives true here. Like, people love the Isaac pick, the Walker pick, and the Tampa, TJ Tampa selection, those three in a row. You know, I don't know if those guys are going to be players, but I understand why people like them, because they were names that were popular during the process. I probably, Andrew, like Rosengarten for them because they needed it. And I think they really found themselves lucked into it. I mean, they needed a corner, they needed a tackle, and those two spots could have had earlier runs to take those players out, but it didn't go that way. And they both sort of landed right in their lap. Rosengarten is probably my favorite pick for them, though. What's yours?
I see the argument there. I definitely see it. I think it's interesting that we sometimes ding teams for drafting for need, but that's very clearly what the Ravens did here. But to your point, they also could be, you definitely could claim that they're following their board, because those guys really kind of fell into their laps there and I think in a lot of mock drafts and consensus boards expected to be off the board by those points. So they were able to draft for need at the spot, probably for value, which is annoying, right? I mean, that's classic Baltimore annoying stuff. So I was really, you know, had a soft spot for Rasheen Ali throughout the draft process. That was a player that I really liked for the Browns late. I didn't think he would get into round five, but he did, which I think tells me that the Ravens, you know, kind of see something that they like with the player. Keaton Mitchell obviously got hurt. I don't know that I don't think he's a full-time, he's not like a workhorse type guy. Ali can definitely handle, assuming the injury's okay, a higher workload. So that's probably my choice. I'm excited about that player. And I think that feels like the sort of sneaky Ravens thing where I don't think he's ever going to be like a Pro Bowl running back, but I think he has a chance to be a really solid contributor for them for the long haul.
Yeah, especially considering their time frame. I'm sure they wouldn't mind Derrick Henry's contract situation, whatnot, that it works out, that he sort of takes over or is a part of, with Mitchell getting healthy late in the year, potentially taking over. Good stuff. All right, now Pittsburgh, not as many selections, but apparently, I mean, again, a lot of people love this draft too. They take it pick 20, Troy Fautanu, the other Washington offensive tackle. Well, I guess Rosengarten would be the other tackle because, you know, Fautanu was the first-round pick. Anyway, here nor there. Pick 51 in the second round, Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. I'm not sure, having seen press conferences, there is a more Pittsburgh-looking player than Zach Frazier. Round three, pick 84, Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. Round 3, pick 98, Peyton Wilson, linebacker at NC State. Round 4, pick 119, Mason McCormick, the guard out of South Dakota. Then pick 6, round 6, pick 178, Logan Lee, defensive tackle out of Iowa. And then round 6, pick 195, Ryan Watts, the corner out of Texas. They go O-line heavy with three names people really knew in this draft. Getting McCormick at 119 feels like great value for them. Frazier falling to 51, great value. I mean, they have a chance to, Andrew, like, rewrite their line with three starters here over time, which is obviously their end goal primarily. Roman Wilson slides to them. I think my favorite pick is the next Wilson, Peyton Wilson. I understand a lot of the injury stuff here. No ACL in one knee, has torn the other in one. Like, I get it. But if you're talking like pick 98, that from a talent standpoint, I can grab somebody who is on film, can play really well. I never have an issue with a fringe top 100 pick, like going to those places, because the risk reward to me is always worth it. Because if you hit, even if you get 5 years of great linebacker play out of him, you feel like that's just such a great outcome. So I'll probably say Peyton Wilson, but I think you're probably on the other Wilson.
Oh, no? Yeah. I mean, I like Roman Wilson a little bit. I just think, you know, he's going to have an opportunity to contribute, but
doesn't he scream like the next Hines Warren for them, like that attitude guy, you know?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's very much a Pittsburgh wide receiver. There's no doubt about it. Like, the combination of him and Pickens will be annoying. There's no doubt about that. You just have to hope that they don't find a quarterback to get them the ball. I would say in terms of like the pick that I like the most, I was pretty excited about Mason McCormick as a later round guard. Obviously, not a need for the Browns after they take Zach Zinter in round 3, but I thought maybe there was a way that he found his way to 156 or the Browns moved up a little bit. That would have made sense to me. That's a player that I like. I think it's always interesting when players like Logan Lee, who is like, you know, very classic Iowa defensive lineman, ends up in Pittsburgh, because that tends to be the types of guys that they get to, right? And so it just feels like, again, like not a star, but a guy that's going to be a contributor for them for a long time as a depth piece. But no, I think the thing with the Steelers is the offensive line emphasis and just how interesting that is in terms of a change. I don't think it gets talked about a lot because they hired from within, but the difference between Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan seems to be pretty significant in terms of the way that they draft. And I think that might be bad news in terms of like the Steelers and their relevance, because the Steelers ignoring the offensive line for like a decade was kind of one of the reasons that their offense was always a little bit, even when it was effective, it had limitations. It really limited the ceiling because they just couldn't protect. And with Mike Tomlin, his philosophy, if they're really able to lean on running the ball with this ragtag group of quarterbacks, they could just be a very annoying team to play this year, which I mean, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you've heard me say this a bunch already, but I just feel like Arthur Smith's offense, the investments in the offensive line, the recipe here is just them being a nightmare to play.
They're a nightmare until they're not. This draft didn't help sort of shift them off of that place. I think they took some great value selections. I would probably say Pittsburgh has my favorite draft in the group here, probably followed by Cincinnati and then Baltimore. What do you think? Do you have Baltimore out in front of Cincinnati? I think all three are pretty decent drafts overall. I mean, probably in the top half of the league.
For sure. For sure. I agree with that. I think I might have the Bengals first. I just really, really liked Amarius Mims. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then we already talked about Burton and what he could be potentially. I understand the reservations with Chris Jenkins, but it was such a good fit for them and what they need that I understand it for them. And then, you know, they just had a boatload of late picks, and so they ended up adding a ton of depth, which is just really going to help them, because they're, again, we've talked about this, they're going into their, if they're going to pay Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, the way that they run things and not restructuring Joe Burrow's deal, they're going to have big cap hits from the quarterback position. It's going to limit their ability to do things elsewhere. So they need a lot of draft picks to kind of pay things off. So I would say the Bengals by a hair over the Steelers, just because I want to believe now that he's a Steeler that Fatanu's injury stuff and Frazier's is currently injured. It just, I want to believe that maybe some of those are like good picks, that maybe they are being a little too flippant with the medicals. Peyton Wilson in the same boat. And so, I agree with you. I think all three teams, top half of the league, I put the Ravens maybe a rung below, just because I don't know, Nate Wiggins, I understand the fit, Rosengarten, but I just feel like those weren't maybe their best options at those positions. I think, to me, the idea of them ending up with one of those wide receivers in that second tier was much more scary. I understand they had to kind of, they felt like maybe they had to go corner there, but anyway.
I don't think anyone's wrong on this. These are three.
They all stack up well. And I would say, like, zooming out, the big thing here is just, I cannot wait for the Browns to have a little bit more draft capital, because, you know, the Ravens make, what, 9 picks, 3 in the top 100. The Bengals make, I think, 10 picks total, and including 4 in the top 100. I mean, the Steelers, they have 4 in the top 100, and they don't have as much on the third day, but two of the teams in your division getting 4 top 100 picks when you've got 54 and 85 is just not, I mean, that tilts the balance a little bit. I know that the Browns, we feel, have a pretty complete roster, but that will matter, right? That, I mean, long term, the more cheap players you can bring in, the better off you are.
You can kind of be like one of the people who analyzes these things, who says they only analyze the value of the player at the spot selected, but you just can't ignore like the sheer volume, and you're always going to feel better about drafts than in with first round picks. Like, there's just no way it's ever any different than that. I mean, it's hard to, like, the Browns draft is clearly the worst draft of the division, and it might ultimately not matter. We've said that for years about these guys, but they, you know, like, years as in the last few years, and they've figured out a way to find a first round talent later on that makes you not feel quite as bad, right? Like, if you ask me right now, do I want Broderick Jones or DeJuan Jones? Who are you saying? I'm probably saying DeJuan Jones. Like,
that's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question. So, like, going back and looking, that's maybe, again, you find podcast ideas there all the time. Maybe we do need to jump back at the few drafts and try to see if the Browns ultimately ended up taking less capital and yielding something as significant.
Great question.
There we go. That's how you figure out podcasts of the future in live in real time. We will get to more of these, but for now, a pretty fun, you know, context look at both what we do reaction wise after the draft due to practice clips, and then obviously tying it into the rest of the division, which we had been overdue to get to, looking at those who drafted well. And the Browns are going to have to keep pace. It starts next year with when they, you know, open up the wallet a little bit to more draft picks and have a chance to spend more of those premium selections, and we'll get a little bit more excited about that. Actually, really looking forward to it. I know I've said it a lot, but I am. Anyway, for Andrew and I, thanks for stopping by, making this pod a part of your day. Continue to check out the OBR for all the content you need post-draft and getting ready for rookie minicamp. And we'll have a lot of stuff up, including a show special that we'll do when the schedule drops, because that's also a fun time. So check in all week. We'll have great content for you guys. Thanks for making this a part of your Tuesday, however it finds you. Have a great one. Be well, guys. Go Browns.